Welcome to Radioactive Theater, presenting quality dramas for our listening audience. This program features two very popular couples from early radio, the Bickersons, who from 1946 to 1951 spent nearly all their time in relentless verbal war, and Fibber McGee and Molly in the fictional Midwestern city of Wistful Vista. Fibber was a teller of tall tales and a braggart, usually to the exasperation of his long-suffering wife, Molly. It ran from 1935 until 1959, one of the most popular and enduring radio series of its time. Our Radioactive Theater ensemble includes Holly Miller, Mike Gregory, Lorraine Mason, Jeff Van Amber, Julie Standrovich, Catherine Thornton, and George Blomquist. Enjoy Fibber McGee and Molly and the Census Enumerator and Fibber Has a Happy Face and the Bickersons and John's Operation. $140,000 men and women started work last week on Operation Nose Count, the 1950 census. 139,999 of these people are intelligent, courteous, and considerate. Here's another one. Census Enumerator McGee of Fibber McGee and Molly.
Ah, I got a feeling I'm going to love this job, Molly. Imagine getting paid good money just by asking personal questions. Boy, oh boy, will I get nosy.
And boy, you're just the boy who can do it, too.
Betcha. And this time, I got the government back of me. Fibber McGee, government official. Hey, I wish I had me a badge to wear.
A badge? Well, Uncle Dennis has one. It's upstairs in his drawer.
Swell. I'll get it. What does it say?
Chicken inspector. He got it at a Legion convention at the poultry exhibit, he said. Although, I don't know the reason he got it. I just know he got one.
That's okay, kiddo. Never mind. I got authority enough without the badge. Let me run through the procedure here before I start out again a minute. First of all, I ring the doorbell, see, and when somebody answers, I say, good morning, madam.
What if a man answers?
Hang up. Oh, you mean if a man answers the door? Well, in that case, I simply say, good morning, bud. I say I represent the United States censor for this block, and...
Oh, no, dearie, no. Not the censor. The census.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Well, the census asks people what they do. The censor says they mustn't do it.
Oh, well, anyhow, this is going to be quite the experience. Let me see now. I got my book of instructions, the enumerator's reference manual, my fountain pen, blank forms, my ID cards.
Say, I've heard of those ID cards. What does that stand for anyhow? Doctor of Enumeration?
No, nothing like that, Tootsie. This is just my identification. When you don't want to stand out on a drafty porch asking questions, you flash an ID card to get indoors. Catch on?
Isn't that simple? I think the census is a wonderful idea because, heavenly days, is that the questionnaire you fill out?
Yep.
Look at the size of that thing. It looks like Barnum and Bailey's main tent.
Yeah, and I'm going to have a circus with it, too. I may switch questions around a little, of course, when I get the hang of it. Liable to sound pretty dull asking the same questions all day long.
Oh, you can handle it, Derry. You've had experience.
Asking questions?
Sounding dull. Say, speaking of Uncle Dennis again, he'd be wonderful at this job. He starts every day of his life with the same question.
Yeah, what's his question?
Where am I? You know, that's about the only question they don't have on these blanks here.
They got it right here. Question 15, what were you doing last week? Working, keeping house, or something else?
What else is there? Heavenly days, a busy housewife.
Look, Tootsie, don't you start giving me trouble before I even ring my first doorbell. Come on, let's get started. I want to gather up those vital statistics.
You mean vital, dearie?
No, vittles. I'm going to ask them what they had for lunch, and if there's any left, because by the time I ring a few doorbells, I'll be hungry enough to...
Hold it, G-Man. Company.
Well, don't let them delay us, whoever it is. Hand me those questionnaires and stuff, so it looks like we're leaving. Come on in.
Oh, hello, Mr. Oldtimer. Come in.
Oh, hello there, daughter. Hi. Oh, Put that racing form away, Johnny. Save your rent money, son. You can't beat the ponies.
No, this is not a racing.
But don't let the boy gamble, daughter. Bad for his character. I mind Papa used to bet the horses when I was a kid. Ruined his life completely.
Well, that's too bad, but...
Yep, Papa hung around the stables so much, he developed a hamstrung fetlock and a bad case of heaves. Took to having his shoes custom made at the blacksmith shop, and I can hear him now whinnying as he galloped up the front steps. It was 6 furlongs to the drugstore, and Papa...
Look, that's all very fascinating, but I got work to do. We gotta go.
Well, I don't want to hold you up, kids. Take a lesson, though, from Papa. He got a tip from a jockey friend, mortgaged Mama's sewing machine, and bet every dime we had on a horse named Glue Boy.
Glue Boy? Sounds like a sticky proposition.
Oh, Glue Boy put everything he had into that run, kids. And he was the first to cross the finish line in the last race of the day.
Good.
Papa lost everything.
Lost? You said the horse came in first in the last race.
Oh, yep. But... he started out in the first race. Never trust a horse, Johnny. He'll make a jackass out of you every time.
Well, I'm sure there must be a fine moral in there somewhere, Mr. Oldtimer. But these papers have nothing to do with racing forms. They're questionnaires.
Yep. I just been appointed censor takus for this district.
Census taker, dearie.
Yeah.
Is that so?
Yep. It's just a subordinate job for now, of course. But the next census take, I may get appointed head.
Johnny, I got news for you. You got one now.
Look, if I were you, boy, I wouldn't get too flipped with a government official. I'm with the government, you know.
Oh, that's okay. I'm a government man myself. You see the safety pin in the back of my pants?
Heavenly days. What's that for?
Rent control, daughter. I tore 'em.
Yeah, how?
Oh, coming downstairs, Johnny. I fell over a barrister.
You mean a banister?
Oh, this was in a courthouse, daughter. A lawyer got in my way. Well, come on, kids. I'll drive you downtown if you got your car out front.
Thanks, but we're walking.
Yep, let's get going. We've been waiting long enough for people to come to their senses. Now we're going to take the census to the people.
That's pretty good, Johnny. That ain't the way I heard it.
Sure.
Oh, the way I heard it. One feller says t'other feller when he heard McGee was taking the census. Say, he says, why is the wistful vista census like a ride on a rocket ship? Simple, says t'other feller, because they both start off with a big jerk. So long, kids.
All right, Mrs. Mooks. I guess I got all the information I need about you. Now for the rest of your family. Who else lives at this address?
Just myself and Boswell, that's all.
Let me put that down, sis. B-O-Z-W-E-L.
That's Mr. Mulks, is it?
Oh, gracious, no. Boswell is only 4 years old.
Boswell Mulks, age 4. Your son, sis?
Well, no. He's adopted.
How nice. What nationality is he?
Well, his papers didn't exactly say, but from the shape of his tail and his long drooping ears, we think he's a beagle.
Beagle?
Yes. Oh, here he is now. Boswell, meet the nice people.
Oh, for the love of... Come on, Molly. Thanks, sis.
My, this is very interesting work, isn't it? How many names have we got now?
Hey, let me check. Well, counting the 4 people that weren't home, and the lady that was taking a bath and hollered out the window at us, and the guy that was holding his thumb in the leaking water pipe and said, come back tomorrow, and the place with the measles sign on the door. I got just one, Mrs. Mulks. Well, here we go again. Good morning, sir. I am the U.S. Census Taker.
Census Taker.
Yeah. Oh, hiya, Oli.
Oh, hello, McGee. Hello, Mrs. What? You're what kind of a talker?
The United States Census, Oli. The government needs a lot of information about population and housing.
Oh, sure. I've been waiting for Census Talker. I think McGee is a good man to ask questions. Everybody say so.
They do, Oli? What do they say?
They say McGee is a questionable character. Well, go ahead, Census Talker, ask questions.
Your name we have, and the address. Born?
Sure. Not lately, though. Was long time ago.
Who's the head of this household?
Wait until I close the door. I am!
Where were you born, Oli?
Davenport.
Iowa?
No, Stockholm. Mama didn't have time to get to hospital. I was born on Davenport.
How many people live at this address?
Well, if you call it living, there's me and my missus and the kids, Christina, Lars, Sven, little Ollie, Yasmin, and better leave one space for next January.
Now then, one more question.
Okay.
What time is it?
About 1:30.
Thanks, we better get going. Thanks, Ollie.
That's all right, McGee. Nothing is too good for the government, they seem to think.
Isn't this fun, McGee? Who's next on the list?
I don't know, but I wish it were Edgar Bergen.
Why?
I'd like to ask him if he feels lonesome since McCarthy got to be a senator. Well, here we are, kiddo.
Yes?
Good morning, madam. I represent...
We don't want any.
She don't want any, Molly. Let's try the next story. Hey, wait a minute. I ain't selling anything. I'm the census taker.
It's census taker. Try again.
I say I'll try again. Open up in there. I'm from the census, by George.
Oh, why didn't you say so? I didn't understand.
Neither did I. I'd like to talk to the head of the house. You married?
Yes, indeed I am, but you'll have to come back later. My husband is in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, the lucky man in the beautiful South. What's he doing there, madam?
20 years. Good day.
Well, the government has solved his housing problem.
If they convicted him of being a masher, they've also solved the surplus potato problem. Who lives in this next house, McGee?
A fella named Crabtree. I know him from the Elks Club, but I'm skipping him.
Afraid he isn't home?
Afraid he is home. I owe him $10. Let's take the next one. Beautiful house. Must be millionaires.
Yes?
Good day, madam, or bud. And in your case, it's madam. I am the U.S. Census taker for this district.
Census taker, he means.
I regret to say, sir and madam, that the master, Mr. Wilkes Farthington, is unavailable for interruption at the moment. If you could return in about a fortnight...
Now raise the anchor a little, Joe.
I was about to say, sir, if you could return at a more convenient time...
Convenient for who? This is convenient for us, ma'am.
Quite. However, I'm afraid that it's
now,
not...
Now, one more star in the flag, Joe. Yow!
What on earth is going on in there?
Mr. Wilkes Farthington is being tattooed, madam. Good day.
Come back at a more convenient time, my clavicle. Getting paid by the name and make a dozen trips? That's the kind of stuff that gets under my skin.
Judging from the yelps, they were getting under Mr. Wilkes Farthington's, too. Try this place.
Good day, sir, or madam. I am...
Oh, yes, of course. I've been expecting you all day, Mr. Wilcox, because my housework is so...
Excuse me, madam. We are not Mr. Wilcox. I mean...
We're taking the U.S. Census, sis, and...
Oh, I wish I had time to talk to you, but this big house keeps me so busy. And this Mr. Wilcox promised to come and show me how he can simplify it. And, well...
Well, he's just the lad that can do it, too. Because when he shows you how Johnson's water-repellent glow coat can save you so much time and work, You'll simply be amazed.
You betcha. Now then, sis, my first question is about...
Johnson's Water Repellent Glow Coat?
Yes.
No, my question is...
You see, madam, I'm a housewife myself, and I know what Glow Coat will do. You know those dingy, milky-looking streaks on the linoleum when you mop it a few times? Well, that's a thing of the past, because Water Repellent Glow Coat stays on and stays bright, even after repeated damp moppings.
Now, my second question, sis, is...
How does it go on?
Well, at this rate, sis, it'll take all day, but...
She means the Glow Coat, McGee. Well, Mrs.,
Corey. Mary Corey.
Well, I finally got some information. What was the first name?
Johnson's. Johnson's Water Repellent Glow Coat.
No, I meant...
Quiet, dearie. Mrs. Corey and I are talking. You see, Mrs. Corey, Glow Coat is very easy to apply. You just pour a little out, spread it around, and let it dry. In 20 minutes or less, it gives your linoleum a lovely, glossy, protective wax coating.
It seems that one can of Glow Coat will cut my housework in half. So bring me two cans right away, because that will take care of all of my housework, and now I have the rest of the day to talk to you nice people. So do come in and sit down.
Well, that was the best client I've had yet.
Yes, a very pleasant woman. How old did she say she was?
Can't tell you, kiddo. The manual says we ain't supposed to divulge any information accumulated in the course of duty. You should have listened.
Well, it was nice to talk to one citizen that made sense for the census. Now where do we go?
Right here. Hiya, bud.
How do you do?
I am the census taker, bud. This is my wife, Molly.
How do you do, I'm sure.
How are you, Mrs. Taker? Won't you come in?
Thanks, bud. But it ain't Mrs. Taker. It's Mrs. McGee. I'm taking the census.
Really? That's peculiar. I had a letter from one of my cousins in Idaho, and she claims that she was taking the census.
Oh, you got cousins in Idaho? Boise?
No, they're all girlsy.
Here's a new pencil, McGee. You'd better get busy now.
Now you understand, bud, that this is the regular annual 10-year census. Okay, bud. Now how about a few questions?
Oh, good. I love this. First question. Can you quote Napoleon's farewell to his men after the Battle of Waterloo in three words?
We're supposed to ask the questions.
I'm sorry. That's six words and you lose. The correct quotation is, so long, fellas. Now my next question.
Hey.
Please, now we ask the questions.
Yeah, now then, bud. Your name, please.
Baker.
Your occupation?
No, that's my name. Baker. Axelrod P. Baker.
Well, what is your occupation, Baker?
Butcher. My father, Chauncey Baker, was also a butcher.
Butcher? You mean that was her maiden name?
No, her main name was Binkstoffel. Emily Binkstoffel. That made her Emily Binkstoffel Baker Jr.
How do you spell that?
J-U-N-I-O-R. Now, do you want to ask some questions, Miss Taker?
McGee Baker, not Miss Taker.
Not Miss Taker for whom, sir?
McGee.
Oh, I'd never mistake you for him. You're much prettier, and besides...
Oh, cut it out. Look, we ain't getting any place.
Well, you should have thought of that before you went into government work, sir. I realize it's a very safe job and gives you a certain security, but...
But wait a minute, please, Mr. Butcher.
The lady is speaking to you, Mr. Butcher.
I'm not Butcher. I'm McGee. Your name is Butcher.
No, my name is Baker. You'll remember that I said my mother, who was a Binkstoffel, married my father.
Never mind that. It isn't important.
It is to me, madam.
Oh, for the love of Mike.
No, Chauncey. Mike was my uncle. It was for the love of that girl named Marjorie Pincus.
Yes, stop it, please.
Look, Lester, just let me ask a couple more simple questions, will you please? It ain't asking too much, is it?
Oh, you go right ahead, sir. Questions in regards to what?
Education.
Very well. How far did you go in school?
Well, after the third year in the eighth grade in Peoria,
McGee, you're supposed to ask him.
Oh, yes. We'll skip the education. How much money did you make last year, Baker?
$2,500,000. but I had to burn it.
Burn it?
Yes, I forgot to put a beard on Lincoln. You see, I had a little engraving plant back of my butcher shop, and...
Come on, Molly, let's go. I'm marking this residence down as vacant. So long, bud. Well, we only got two more stops today, kiddo. Here's the first one.
Nice house. Who lives here?
Let me see. According to my notes, a fella named Harris. Philip Harris. Band leader with a rich wife.
Well, ring the bell.
I did, but I couldn't hear it ring.
Maybe it's out of order.
Maybe the door is unlocked. I'll peek in. We better come back when he's feeling better, Molly. He's taking some medicine.
Well, one more house, dearie, and we can go home. How many people did we call on today?
According to my list, we knocked on 62 doors, kiddo.
A good day's work.
Yep, 62 houses, and the people were at home in all but 48 of them.
That leaves 14.
But not only that, 9 of the 14 answered my questions, 3 of them without even beefing. Not a bad day's work for my first day as a census taker.
It's census taker.
Right, census taker. When I get going tomorrow, oh, kiddo, look who's coming across the street, Doc Gamble. Boy, oh boy, have I been waiting for this one.
Oh, yes, that is the doctor, isn't it? I recognize the walk.
You said it. That guy's got a waddle like a pregnant moose. Look at him. He walks like a chap duck. Hey, Doc.
Hello there, Molly. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Doctor.
Hello, Warthead.
Hi.
What's the briefcase in the Lear for, you peddling Mississippi bubble stock? Or is that thing full of snake oil in case you run across a rusty snake?
You'll find out, boy. Oh, is this gonna be fun? Hand me the blank, Molly.
He's working, Doctor, for the United States government.
Him? How do I get my citizenship canceled?
You'll be happy to know, Doctor, that I have just been appointed census taker for this district.
It's census takers.
What?
No.
What? Oh, no.
Yep, you're looking at a duly qualified minor official, Buster. Prepare to have your census took.
Look, catch me later. I've got calls to make. People sick, maybe might be an operation.
Look at him squirm, kiddo. Look at him. Maybe I ought to read you the law about answering questions, Doctor.
Oh, now look, McGee, I don't...
On page 98, section 9, it says, and I cheerfully quote, any person who shall willfully refuse to answer shall be deemed guilty
of... All right, you double-crossing little snoop. Come on, ask me.
Oh, now, Doctor, that's no way to act.
Well, why does he have to be the one?
I consider it my civic duty, Doctor. It's not easy, either. A job like this takes a lot out of a guy.
Yes, and you've had so little to start with, too.
Just you relax, Doctor. You know that any information you give him is confidential.
Certainly it is. Oh, and besides, it'll make a swell chapter for the book I'm writing about you, Docie. It's called Inside Doc Gamble, or Boy, It's Doc in Here.
Oh, get on with the questions.
Okay, name, address, all right. How old are you, Doctor?
47.
You don't look 47.
No, he ain't 47 anymore. He's 96 if he's a day. Come clean, Doc.
Make it 48.
That's better. Next question. How much money did you make last year?
$12,000.
$12,000? Honestly?
Well, part of it, kiddo, part of it. Say about $3, honestly. Doc?
Get on with the questions, nosy.
Okay, next question. Are those your own teeth, Doctor?
Certainly. I have the receipt for...
Boy, is this wonderful. Next question. Is it true that you were holding hands with a Miss Fifi Tremaine in the balcony of the Bijou Theater last night, and the usher had to come...
McGee!
Okay. Have you ever been married, Doctor?
No.
Are you thinking of getting married?
Yes, I'm secretly engaged.
Yeah? Whom to?
Miss Tremaine.
Heavenly days, Doctor. We didn't know that. Miss Tremaine, huh?
Boy, oh boy, is that something for the gang down at the Elks. Oh, well, it's sure nice of you to give me all this dope about your private life, Ducky. And I got news for you. You ain't in my census district. There'll be a guy around to take your census next week.
What?
Thanks, Pigeon.
You're welcome, Chisler. And I have news for you, too.
What, Doctor?
I know I'm not in his district. That's why I gave him all the wrong answers so long, sucker.
Why that double-crosser taking advantage of my faith in him to deliberately lie to me and...
Well, this has been quite a day, hasn't it? Very interesting work.
For sure, Tootsie.
Now what do you do?
Well, first thing I do is check over my papers and look at the reference manual to see if I've done everything right. Then I check with the crew chief and turn in my day's records. Hand me the manual, Tootsie. I want to look up my legal responsibilities.
Here you are. Legal responsibilities are on page 18, sections 57 and 58.
Okay, page 18. Let me see. Not to be accompanied or assisted by unauthorized persons. Not permit anyone to accompany you except duly authorized. Oh, my gosh. Hand me the phone, quick. Then run up and pack our bags.
Here's the phone, but what on earth is the...
Can't talk now, kiddo. We're in a jam. Hello, operator? Give me the airport. Hello, airport? Two reservations in South America and the first plane out. Midnight.
McGee, what are you doing?
What say, sis? The names, Mr. Fosdick Allardyce and wife. What do you mean, how do I spell Allardyce? Make it Jones. Okay, we'll be there. Hey, Molly, get packed, quick. Shut off the gas and the water and the electric.
McGee, please, what are you talking about? What is this?
We're in trouble, baby. That's what this is. Look at this census manual. By letting you go with me and read this confidential stuff, I'm liable to a $1,000 fine and 2 years in a pokey. Now get your hat, make some jelly sandwiches. I'll mail in my resignation when we get to Hong Kong. Ladies and gentlemen, the 1950 census is underway. When the census taker calls on you, ask to see his card, invite him in, answer his questions accurately.
A true picture of the size and condition of our country depends on true answers from all of us. And a true picture is of vital importance.
Remember that this information you give your census taker is completely confidential. By law, no other agency of the government can ever use it for taxation, investigation, or anything else.
And remember, too, that you won't find a census taker like McGee anywhere but in Wistful Vista.
I guess that's right, kiddo. I guess I just got a natural curiosity, huh?
Yes, you are.
A what?
A natural curiosity.
Oh, good night.
Good night, all.
One good thing about the Sunday papers, if you're a slow reader, they last all week. And here in the living room at 79 Wistful Vista, on a Tuesday afternoon, catching up with that little orphan Annie and that famous Dick Tracy, we find Mr. McGee of Fibber McGee and Molly.
Oh boy, is this rich. Hey, Molly, you ever read Chief Wahoo?
Who?
Wah.
Wahoo.
Yeah, Wahoo. Indian character in the funnies. He's got ideas to set aside 1 week a year for the braves to do all the work and give the wives a rest. See, old Moonface? That's Butterball's husband, he...
Oh, don't tell me, McGee. You know I like to read the funnies myself.
He's always, hey, here's an interesting article in the scientific section. Says the way you feel is reflected in the way you look.
That's a startling discovery. Anybody who's ever owned a looking glass knows that.
That ain't the point. If it goes on to say, and I quote, the reverse is also true. If you look happy and healthy, you'll feel happy and healthy. Your body subconsciously reacts to your facial expressions.
I must be a pretty picture of womanhood just before I sneeze then.
No, the idea is that the way to feel good and be healthy is to act healthy and happy. Get your puss all fixed for it, and your body reacts, see? Act happy all the time, and you'll be happy all the time.
That, dear boy, is a lot of mulligatawny.
Eh?
The human race isn't built for it. Happiness should be taken in small doses. Nobody can be happy all the time. That's what makes the merry-go-round horses so glassy-eyed.
Personally, I think it's worth trying. I think I will try it. From now on, I'm going to smile my way through to life.
Go ahead, dearie. Be a happiness boy. At least it'll be easier on my nerves than it will be on your face.
Ah, you're a great kid, Molly. Always joshing me. You go ahead. Be a pessimist. I got happiness enough for both of us. Yes, sir. Happy-go-lucky McGee, that's me. I'll be the greatest little tonic for...
If that's the man to collect the installment on the piano, just tell him to look happy and he'll be happy. I'll run up and get the iodine.
I don't care who it is. I love everybody. Come in, come in, come in.
How do you do? I am Virginia.
Hiya, sis. Mighty happy to see you again. Yes, sir. Mighty happy. Just step in and get a load of the joy of living, sis. Make our house your home. We call it Contentment Cottage.
Since when, McGee?
Since just now, sis. You look kind of case-worn and worried. Don't feel like that. Be gay. Be cheerful. As you look, so you feel. Take me, for instance.
Yes, take him. And don't bring him back till he has a good grouch on. What was it you wanted, dearie?
Lady, I'm trying to sell magazines. I haven't sold a single subscription today. I'm tired and hungry and almost broke.
That's because you ain't got the right attitude, sis. Things will come your way if you only look cheerful. Yes, sir. Laugh and the world laughs with you. Cry and you ruin your beer. Ha ha. That's what I always says. And?
McGee.
Eh?
Give the lady $3 and order a magazine. We need some magazines.
But Molly, all her troubles are...
Don't tell me about her troubles. I've never seen any yet that hard cash wouldn't help more than a lot of soft words.
Well, okay. Here, sis. Here's $3. Now send us the Reader's Digest.
Yes, sir. And thank you very much. I'll just...
I like the Reader's Digest because I can read it in bed. And if I drop off to sleep, I know it ain't going to kill me if it falls on me. Ha ha. That's the way I look at things, sis. The cheerful side. Be cheerful and things will come your way. Did you see what she's done? Slap me with a batch of magazines?
You're just lucky she wasn't selling the Encyclopedia Britannica.
But after we helped her up, my gosh, such ungrateful to this.
Look, dearie, you can't pour happiness onto people like it was a pitcher of maple syrup.
Yeah, but...
If you want to laugh merrily and dance around on the lawn in your carefree abandon, it's nobody's business. But don't try to sell everybody else.
That's where you're wrong, Molly. The idea is to spread happiness, like throwing a rock in a river. The ripples spread. I'm going to be the rock.
Yes, and somebody's going to throw you into the river.
Well, everything happens for the best. That's what I always say. Yes, sir. One minor setback.
Turn on the charm, dearie. Here comes another victim.
Good, good, good. Everybody comes to see old happy-go-lucky McGee. I must do something to people.
Nothing that a little bicarbonate of soda wouldn't settle. Come in!
Oh, hello, kids. Oh, mind if I sit down a spell?
Of course not, Mr. Old-timer. Sit right down.
Don't look so darn-hearted, old sock. Cheer up. Snap out of it. Ha ha. What if the sky looks gray today? The gray skies bring the blue skies. Blue skies bring the sunshine.
And sunshine brings flowers, and flowers bring hay fever. So just skip the inspirational lecture, McGee. What's the matter, Mr. Old-timer?
It's Bessie, kids.
Hey, Bessie?
Your girl? The one you're engaged to?
Yep. Bessie's threw me down. I've been jolted.
You mean jilted?
Yes, but it was a jilt with a jolt, daughter. Here I was, derby over britches in love. Never looked at another woman. Oh, well, maybe I looked now and then. But there I was, saving my money, taking Bessie to a movie 2 nights a week, always sending her a corset of violets.
Corsage.
Corsage. And what happens? She throws me over like a broken toy. That's what I am, kids. A broken toy. Passion's plaything. I'm desperate. I think I'll go home and hang myself. A carpet on the clothesline and wail the petunia out of it.
None of that, old-timer. That's just self-pity. You gotta look for the silver lining. Nobody ever lost anything by being cheerful, my friend. Act happy, and you'll be happy. That's the stuff. What if you did get tossed over? What's a woman anyway? Remember what Kipling says? A rag, a bone, and 12 bobby pins. Ha ha! Just think! You might have got married to Bessie and then found out she leaves the cap off the toothpaste tube. Why, you don't know when you're well off.
Oh, it's no use, Johnny. My heart's busted. I gotta get me a job as a welder. Long as I'm carrying the torch, I might as well... Hey, who's that?
Who's who?
Where?
Going past the house out there.
Oh, that's some woman selling magazine subscriptions. She was just in here.
Say, she's kind of cute. And I just happened to think my subscription to The American Boy expires next week. So long, kids. Hey there, baby. Wait a minute. I got a little proposition for you.
What did I tell you, Molly? My cheerful attitude gave him a new interest in life. He's a learned to look on the blue skies.
He has indeed. The hard way, too. Here he is, flat on his back on the sidewalk.
Oh, pshaw. When you're smiling, da-da-dee, da-da-da-dee, da-da. Hey, Molly.
Yes, Pollyanna.
We got any aspirin? I think I got a little neuralgia in my face.
You haven't any such thing, dearie.
I must have. My face aches all over.
Of course it does. You've been smiling that idiotic happy smile so long, your face has gone to sleep. And how I envy it.
Oh, well, if it's only a smile that causes it, everything's okay. If we never have any pain, we'll never appreciate our happiness. I always say, yes, sir.
Your happiness is going to be a beautiful thing to see when I tell you that Mrs. Uppington is just coming up the steps.
Uppington. Ah, there's a fine woman. I'm very fond of Mrs. Uppington. Yes, sir. Rich or poor. There's some good in everybody, I always say. Hey, did you get a gander at that hat she's wearing? Where did she buy those monstrosities?
We'll never know. It's a millinery secret. Come in. Well, hello there, Abigail, darling. What a lovely surprise.
How do you do, my dear? And Mr. McGee?
Ah, there, my dear girl. And how are you this lovely, lovely afternoon? Ha ha! This is the life, isn't it, the best? Surrounded by one's friends. Let us all join hands and sing something gay. Life is what you make it, I always say.
You keep that up and you'll never make it.
What do you think of life, Abigail, my dear girl? Do you agree with me that one should face the world with a shout or a laughter, with a carefree smile and a merry quip? What do you think of life?
Life's a stench.
Why, Abigail, what on earth is the matter?
Everything is the matter, Mrs. McGee. I just had a fire in my kitchen which burned up all my ration books. I ruined my last pair of nylons putting it out. And now the insurance company tells me my policy ran out last week. What, Mr. McGee, are you looking so happy about?
At this golden opportunity, dear girl, all these little things are but passing ripples on the stream of life. You must learn to shrug your pretty shoulders at little irritations. Be gay! Never let your face fall, and you'll never need to have it lifted, I always say.
Isn't it awful, Abigail? You've just had a few minutes of it. If I hear much more, I'm going to sit down and write a letter to Boris Karloff.
Let us look upon life as a great adventure, greeting each new experience with a cry of gladness. Let us enrich our souls with each passing moment, and string together the days of our years like precious pearls upon the silver strand of existence. What do you say, kid?
Mr. McGee, you don't know what this little talk has done for me.
What do you mean, Abigail?
I mean, I hadn't realized until now how fortunate I was. After all, my ration books can be replaced, my kitchen can be repaired, and I can afford the loss.
That's the spirit, Uppie, I always say.
And furthermore, Mrs. McGee, when I get home, I shall wander about my house with a new appreciation, with tears of gladness in my eyes, that I don't have to live with a husband who dishes out such nauseating gobs of war motto hokum. Good day.
Well, I warned you, McGee. You scatter your sunshine so thick, everybody gets blistered.
Ah, that old pie plate hasn't welcomed the new thoughts since Gandhi started wearing a zoot suit.
Well, maybe it'll teach you a lesson. As you always say, you can treasure this passing moment as one more precious slice of bologna in the lunchbox of life.
You know, Molly, I think I'll start writing a diary. From now on, my life is going to be so happy, so rich in values. It'll be an inspiration to everybody. Imagine a big, life-size statue of me in the park, dedicated to the happy-go-lucky McGee, the man who brought joy and happiness to millions.
How can they make a full-size statue when your philosophy is such a bust?
That's very good, my dear, very good. I shall mention it in my diary, how much your humorous comments have meant to me in a life devoted to bringing cheer. And the only important thing in life is to be happy.
Personally, I'm getting a little tired of it already. I think I'll go upstairs and lie down a while.
Don't feel good, baby?
I feel fine, dearie. But all this happiness of yours has worn me out. Oh, permanent gaiety takes a strong constitution. I'll be down in a little while and...
There goes a good kid. What would life be with a little partner to share your joys and what would it be? You're right. Lum and Abner. It's a wonderful world. I never... Come in, neighbor. Come in. Welcome to a house full of high hearts, high spirits.
Hi, mister.
Hi, sis. Mighty glad to see you.
Well, I just thought I'd...
I'm happy to see you, sis. You don't know what it means to old Uncle Fibber to see a little face peeping up at me like a shy little woodland wildflower, yearning for a glimpse of the warm sunlight.
Are you kidding?
Certainly I'm not kidding. I've discovered the way to be healthy and contented is all. I read it in the Sunday paper. You see, sis, science has discovered if your face smiles, your body smiles. See? If you got a pain in your sawdust and your face wants to look nasty about it, don't let it. Put a grin on your puss and the pain goes away. You're happy. Ain't that wonderful?
Who'd you say discovered that, mister?
Science. What's so funny?
Oh, you're so naive, mister.
Eh?
Look, don't you realize a lot of that stuff is pure malarkey? Don't you know the editor says to somebody, give me 500 words of horse feathers on how to be cheerful.
Well, sis, I never.
Surely you are intelligent enough to know that there is no definite scientific evidence linking facial animation with the organic processes.
Well, gee whiz, I...
Look, you got it all backwards. A dog isn't happy because his tail is wagging. His tail is wagging because he's happy. According to your logic, salt and pepper taste good because you put a fried egg under him. Get wise to yourself, mister.
When you're smiling, and the whole world... Heffelfinger. Heffelfinger? Now, where did I know a guy named Heffelfinger? I wish I could...
What are you muttering about, McGee?
Heffelfinger. Have you heard me mention a guy named Heffelfinger?
No, I don't think so.
I bet the reason I can't remember, because there was something unpleasant about it. That's how my new philosophy works. You only remember the happy things.
Keep that up and you'll have a wonderful old age, dearie. You'll be scooting around in a combination wheelchair and good humor wagon.
Well, it's wonderful to be free of all worry and care. To think that just by putting on an expression of good cheer, the whole world looks brighter. Wasn't it Confucius who says, a man with a happy map will get somewhere?
It was either Confucius or the Hardware Journal. I don't quite...
Ah, another visitor. Another chance for me to spread a little happiness in this gloomy old world.
It would be easier to swallow if you didn't spread it on quite so thick. Come in! Oh, for goodness sakes! Dr. Gamble. Come in, Doctor.
Hiya, Doc. Sit down and take a load off your metatarsals.
Thanks. I will. How are you, Mrs. McGee?
Oh, I'm just fine, Doctor. And you?
Oh, I'm all right, much to my own surprise. I've spent such a nerve-wracking day with my prized collection of hypochondriacs, nature fakers, and capsule clutchers. I thought I'd stop in for a visit with a couple of comparatively healthy people.
What do you mean, comparatively? I'm the healthiest man in this town, Doc. And why? Because I've learned the secret of happiness. That's why.
Well, now, isn't that just dandy? You want to be in a glass case at the Smithsonian, McGee. You're a rare object.
Are all doctors as cynical as you, Doctor?
Why, I'm not cynical, Mrs. McGee. I'm a bright-eyed optimist. I still have childish faith in sometime meeting a human being who doesn't think his own hangnails are the medical sensation of the century.
Well, you don't have to look any further, Doc. You've met him. I'm it. I haven't got a pain or an ache or a complex. I'm happy and healthy. And I can lick my weight in wildflowers. I mean, wildcats.
Well, what are you grinning about? You look like a baby with the colic. Take off your shirt, McGee.
Oh, dear.
You can't make me mad, Doc. Nothing makes me mad. For the first time in my life, I'm under strict control. I've lost my temper for the last time.
He's been like this all day, Doctor.
You mean you've been continuously exposed to this one-man glee club? You'd better go to bed. I'll give you a sedative. As I was saying to a man named Heffelfinger the other day.
Heffelfinger?
Yes. You know him? He just moved out of town.
McGee thinks he knows him, but he can't place him.
I don't know why he can't place him. They've been playing pinochle together at the Elks for 2 years.
Oh, no, I got it. Heffelfinger, why that rat, that chiseler? He moved out of town without paying me the $6 he owes me. Why that dirty?
McGee, calm yourself.
Calm myself, my clavicle, of all the lowdown, miserable tricks.
McGee, stop kicking the lamp.
Oh, let him go, Mrs. McGee. He's been happy for several hours. Nobody can stand it for longer than that.
Heffelfinger, that double-crossing, two-timing, petty larceny pickpocket. Why does everything have to happen to me? I'll pay you next week, he says. See you at the club tomorrow, he says. Wait till I get my hands on him. I'll show him. Heffelfinger, of all the dirty, crooked...
Now, take it easy, McGee. Don't you want to be happy?
The only thing that'll make me happy is to get my hands on that nickel nursing hijacker. I'll slap him so Popeye his pupils won't get back till September. Good night.
McGee!
Oh, good night.
That's better. Good night, all.
And now, the Bickersons and John's operation. After 7 years of cycloid insomnia or Slugger's disease, John Bickerson had finally consented to allow Dr. Hershey to relieve his condition. In room 113 at the General Hospital, Mrs. Bickerson watches anxiously as a surgical nurse ministers to poor John, who is suffering an attack the night before the operation. Listen.
It's like being married to a steam shovel, nurse.
Dr. Hershey's waiting for you in the corridor, Mrs. Bickerson.
Oh, hello, doctor.
Is he resting? I gave him a sedative that'll quiet him down.
Well, he isn't very quiet.
Oh, well, actually, I could have done the operation in my office. It's so trivial. He won't be in surgery over 15 minutes, and there's absolutely no danger whatever.
Will it hurt him?
Not the slightest. All we do is take a stitch in his palate and shorten his uvula.
I hate to bring this up now, Dr. Hershey, but how much will it cost?
The fee will be $50 with the anesthetic.
How much is it without the anesthetic?
Oh, I should say about $40.
Would there be any discomfort if he didn't have the anesthetic?
Not for me, there wouldn't. But I wouldn't advise the operation without it.
And you're sure he'll be cured when you're through?
Oh, practically certain. Well, it's almost midnight now. I'll do his case first, about 7. He just needs a good night's rest.
Well, I'll just stay a little longer.
Good night. Call the floor nurse if you need anything.
Oh, I will. I hope that pill's quieted him down. I'm sure that isn't doing him any good. Hear that? John! John, wake up!
What's the matter, Blanche? What's the matter, huh? I put the cat out. I locked the windows. I left a note for the milkman and I hung up.
John, we're in the hospital.
What for? Is somebody sick?
No, you're going to have an operation. Dr. Hershey's going to shorten your uvula in the morning.
Well, then what did you wake me up for?
Well, you were snoring, and I was afraid you'd wear it off before you got a chance to operate. You've been snoring steadily for 3 hours. Don't you suppose I want to sleep, too?
You're not sleeping here, are you?
Yes, I am. It cost another $5 to put another cart in the room, and I intend to use it. Where's my nightgown?
I can't get one night's sleep, even in the hospital.
I don't understand why you have to have an operation to cure your snoring.
I didn't want it. You've been working on me for 7 years to do it.
I'm beginning to think it was a waste of money. I could have used that $40. I'm still walking around in a short dress.
What are you beeping about? Tomorrow I'll be walking around with a short uvula.
Oh, don't be so crabby.
I'm not crabby. I'm sleepy. Why don't you stop fiddling with that mirror and put out the lights?
I have to get undressed, don't I?
Well, take your dress off. Why are you plucking your eyebrows at this time of night?
I'm not plucking my eyebrows. I'm taking off my false eyelashes.
False eyelashes? I didn't know you had bald eyelids.
My eyelids are not bald. It's just my lashes are short, and they don't bring out my eyes. Lots of women use false eyelashes.
Well, throw them away. You don't need anything to bring out your eyes.
Really?
Really. I'm satisfied with the way they bulge now.
What kind of remark is that?
Oh, hurry up, Blanche. I'm groggy. Blanche, what on earth are you taking out of your hair?
It's a rat.
A what?
A roll of false hair. I have to wear it for the new hairstyles. My own hair is too thin with a pompadour. Darn it, I can't get out of this dress.
Blanche, what are those things?
Don't be so silly. Haven't you ever seen shoulder pads before?
Oh, I've never heard of such a thing. Your eyelashes are on the dresser, your hair is in the drawer, and your shoulders are on the chairs.
What about it?
That's you all over, Blanche. No one can think of more ways to spend money. Are you ready for bed now?
Yes, dear, I'm ready for bed. Shall I crank yours up a little?
No. Put out the lights.
I wanted to glance at the paper first. You go to sleep.
I can't sleep with the lights on. I left my sleep shade at home.
Well, I won't be a minute.
Oh, no one will believe this. In 6 hours, they're going to carve me to pieces, and I'm supposed to rest, and here I'm...
Shh, I can't concentrate with you mumbling. There's certainly a lot of activity in Washington. What's all this tax reduction talk?
It's talk.
Listen to what...
Blanche, I read the paper. Every word of it. Read it to yourself.
Don't be so disagreeable. Dr. Hershey told me to keep you occupied so you wouldn't think about the operation.
All I'm thinking about is sleep.
That's a good boy. You mustn't get nervous.
No.
I see the stock market is going up.
That's fine.
We have some stocks, don't we? Didn't you get some stocks last year?
Yeah, 10 shares. Kentucky Saltpeter Mines. Preferred stock.
My brother got you on the ground floor, didn't he? Where's it now?
In the ground.
I can't even find it listed on the stock page.
Look in the help wanted column.
Are you getting relaxed, dear?
No. Now I'm starting to get nervous.
I'm worried about you, John. If anything happens to you on the operating table, it would be my fault. So you know what I think?
Well, sneak out, huh?
No, I think you should make out a will.
Make out a will? I thought you were worried about me.
Well, you don't want to leave me at the mercies of those grasping relatives of yours, do you? The minute you drop dead, they'll...
Don't talk like that. Can't you say pass on or something like that?
Well, you always say drop dead.
No, that's only when I'm talking to your brother. You could be a little more delicate when you're discussing wills.
Why?
Because you make it sound like I'm going to go any minute.
Well, they don't give you 2 weeks' notice, you know. Every man should make out a will.
Okay, I'll make it out tomorrow.
You say it, but you won't do it. Get up. Do it right now.
What?
Go on. Get up and make out a will.
Why, you're out of your mind. In the first place, a will isn't legal unless you have two witnesses. And in the second place, I haven't got anything to leave in the first place. Nobody's going to take anything, and I don't need a will.
You're the most stubborn man that ever lived, John.
Why? Why am I stubborn?
It's the hardest thing in the world to make you admit I'm right when you know I'm wrong.
There's a woman's logic for you. Suppose I do make out a will, and nobody can touch anything besides you. Okay, so now you know you've got all my worldly goods. First thing you know, you'll get over your grief and marry a guy without a dollar to his name, like that broken-down snore specialist, Dr. Hershey.
Oh, I'm not going to marry anybody.
Oh, yeah, he'll give up his practice and take you for every penny, my hard-earned money. He'll drive around my brand-new car, drink my bourbon, loaf around like the French, never do a day's work. Why don't you make the bum get a job, Blanche?
Enough screaming like that. Hush up. Go to bed.
Go to sleep, she tells me. I'm a nervous wreck. She practically talks me into a funeral, marries the doctor behind my back, and now she tells me to go to sleep. I'll never go to sleep. Another wink as long as I can.
John, the telephone. The telephone, answer it.
No. Who the dickens is calling? Who moved the phone, Blanche?
What'd you get up for? It's right on the night table by your bed.
Oh, I thought I was, hello?
Mrs. Raines, this is the maternity nurse. You can get ready now. I'm bringing your baby in.
What? Blanche, how long have I been here?
Isn't this room 413?
I don't know what this is, but I'm not feeding any babies. Oh, what a way to run a hospital.
It's just a mistake, John.
No, I shouldn't have fallen for this operation, Dale. I could be so comfortable at home in my bed. One of us should have stayed there.
What for?
How do you know a prowler won't break in? I left a whole bottle of bourbon on the dresser.
Nobody will break in. The turkey would gobble and scare him away.
The turkey would gobble? I can just see... A turkey? What turkey?
Well, I was going to surprise you. I won a turkey in a raffle, John.
You've got a live turkey running around the house?
He isn't running around. I've got him tied on your bed.
On my bed? What'd you do that for? I'll have the whole thing full of feathers. What'll we do with a live turkey?
Well, it's Thanksgiving tomorrow, John, and I thought you'd murder him for dinner.
I'm not going to murder any turkeys. But if he lays a beak on my bourbon, I'll chop his head off. Blanche, you're the most impossible woman that ever lived.
Oh, I'm sorry, John. I guess everything I do is wrong. I'll go home and put the turkey out.
Now, wait a minute. Never mind. I didn't mean to holler. Let's go to sleep so I can feel good for the operation.
I don't think I want you to have it.
It's the least I can do for you. Keep you awake all these years with my snoring. And when Dr. Hershey gets through with me, I'll be as quiet as a mouse.
Well, if you stop snoring, I'll never wake you up, will I?
No.
And if I don't wake you up, we won't fight, will we?
That's right.
Well, that settles it. I'm not going to let him operate, John.
Why not?
It's the only chance I get to talk to you. Come on home.
Oh, I give up.
We hope hope you've had fun with the Bickersons and Fibber McGee and Molly. Radioactive Theater is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.